welcome to another amazing, awesome, stupendous, action-packed, death-defying, phenomenal episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am thrilled and proud to bring you Pro Wrestling Nation, a weekly pro wrestling podcast where we discuss news results and you never know who's going to stop by the studio. What's up, people? How's it going? How you doing? How the heck you doing? How are you? How the hell are you? What's going on? I am excited this week because a good friend of mine, Michael Klinko from WrestlingExpress.net, stops by. Michael Klinko and I have been doing a Let's Play TEW 2004, which is really, really fun. We talk about it a little bit in here, but he's a Let's Player with TEW. And speaking of TEW, the new TEW game, the demo has dropped, and the actual game drops in a few days. TEW is amazing, awesome, stupendous, wonderful, fun. I cannot wait to get the full version. I can't wait till the mod makers start making mods for these things. I kind of want to do a Let's Play myself. Should I do a Let's Play, you guys? I want to do a Let's Play TEW, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just record some episodes, and then if it gets good, I'll put it online. I don't know. Anyways, Michael Klinko and I, we mainly discuss Payback coming up on Sunday, but we also discuss other stuff like Eric Young going to NXT. Spoiler alert. Sorry, I should have said it beforehand. Other wrestling news and stuff. I don't know. We talked about all kinds of cool stuff. So before I get into that, I just want to say that Pro Wrestling Nation can be found every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn app. Hey, the Google Play podcast app has launched. So I don't know how to use it. I downloaded it, but I don't know how to use it. Go get it. Go download it. Figure out how to use it and tell me how to use it. I don't know. Is it worth it? I have Beyond Pod. But if the Google Play app is worth it, then let me know. It's free, so of course it's worth it. Also, RedDragonsRadio.com and, of course, Gerwick.net, GERWECK.net, your number one source for pro wrestling news since 1997. Hey, head over to YouTube. Go check out Gerwick.net. They have all kinds of cool clips, all kinds of fun clips. Yeah, they have some clips and they have different things. So go to YouTube, check out Gerwick on YouTube, and they have all kinds of clips from the shows. They have different things and stuff like that. Those are getting pretty popular, so go over there, get on the bandwagon, check out the YouTube page, and yeah, go check out WrestlingExpress.net. So me and Michael Klinko, we had a little conversation. It was a good time. Check it out right here, coming up next on Pro Wrestling Nation. Boom! Yeah, it's recording.
That's good.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why sometimes it, like... I mean, I just turned my computer on a few minutes ago, and sometimes it just doesn't record. And then I restart the computer, and then it works. So, yeah. Anyway, so you got that save? You've been playing it?
I actually just downloaded before, but I just got home like maybe 25 minutes ago. I just spent some time outside enjoying the nice weather.
Oh, that's cool. What are you doing outside, smoking some cigarettes?
No, some outdoor activities, you know, hockey and basketball, stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. You don't get drunk over there?
No.
Where are you from, New York?
Yeah.
Dang. And it's sunny over there?
Cloudy more than sunny.
Well, at least it's not snowing, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I've never been to snow in my life.
Must be in California.
Yeah, I am in California. I'm in the Bay Area. I'm 45 minutes south of San Francisco.
Huh, that makes sense.
I mean, there's snow within driving distance, but I've never actually been to the snow. The closest I've ever been was one of my friends went up to the mountains, and he filled the back of his truck up with snow, and he brought it back. And it lasted like maybe, 12 hours or whatever. He even made a snowman in his front lawn. Okay, let me get the card up for this stupid show. WWE Payback. More like WWE Gayback. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Yeah. I am here with Michael Klinko of WrestlingExpress.net. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm doing really good. Before we start, I want to tell people that you and I have been doing a... Well, you, I guess you, do YouTube series of TEW, Total Extreme Wrestling. It's a game. If you guys don't know it, you better know it because the new one just came out. You and I have been doing WWE 2004. We have two episodes up. But most importantly, I think it's a spoiler here because it's I don't think it's officially out yet, but it's coming out. You and I recorded about an hour long talking about TEW 2016. I guess so. Before we get started, tell people about what you do or the YouTube stuff.
Well, pretty much I do Let's Plays of TEW. I got Let's Play WWE 2015 going now. I'm going to be kicking off some new Let's Play series within the next week or so after TEW 2016 comes out. I also do a variety of interviews. I did one recently with James Beard, our monthly discussion, where we kicked off a new series called History Of, where we looked at global wrestling. And I also interviewed Emerge Outbreak Champion Chris Caliber in a new series, also the Indie Spotlight, where I interview indie wrestlers to give them a little bit more attention than they get by themselves.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. I gotta check this. I gotta check the History Of. I gotta check that out pretty soon.
Yeah.
What about a wrestling? Oh, go ahead.
All three of them are up, so if you want to look for them.
Definitely. So Let's Play TEW. How long have you been doing that, and what do you have going on right now with that?
How long have I been doing it? I've been doing it in a variety of ways, meaning a variety of titles, since about March of last year. Which was the first series I actually did was WWE 2015, but I started it in January. That one, I started this one in November, the one I'm doing right now. I started in-game in November of 2014, and now I'm in February of 2015.
Nice. You know, you've kind of inspired me. I kind of want to do one now with the new game coming out. I'm really excited. I have a demo. It's awesome. You know how pathetic my life has become? I have been watching Let's Play EWR on YouTube. It's so much fun because EWR is so simple and it goes so fast. And this guy, he has like 90 something episodes, and I've just been watching his show.
Hey, I could do that too. I mean, I still have EWR on my computer, but
so do I. Actually, I should play it. Oh man, EWR, it's too much. It's too much. Talk about for a minute. Talk about WrestlingExpress.net.
Well, since I actually have it in front of me, since I was doing a post before you gave me a call. Well, in terms of what I have planned, there will be some, I'm working on site renovations or site, changes that'll be coming out, probably closer to the beginning of the summer, like June or July. But I will say I have another, one of my bigger posts just hit the site today, which was Making an Impact, the TNA story, which this actually goes back to the WWE Truth Is that I did a few weeks ago, which is basically, this is basically the same thing, but this one has more of a center focus. And the other bigger post is just in the, I don't want to say it, well, it's under construction. I'm not sure the details of it yet, but it'll be coming. It'll be hitting Twitter soon. The details on it.
Nice, nice. What is this TNA? The story TNA Part One.
Well, with all the talk of the investors and the investors and TNA selling control of the company and then possibly losing control, I figured I'd go back to the first time TNA actually almost sold control of the company, which was Jeff Jarrett back in 2013.
Yeah, a couple years ago, something like that.
Yeah, and the 2013 when him and Topeach.
The deal breaker was having Dixie Carter remain on TV.
And that actually is the first part that you were referred to. That was actually the first part, or that is actually the first part of what I talk about in the first part of this series, which
that's
I believe.
That's awesome.
I believe should be a 4 or 5 part series, but I don't know.
Okay, nice. And then you got the Let's Plays going on. That's pretty cool. I'm checking out your website right now.
Yeah, another episode. The next episode of the Let's Play series will be out tomorrow on the site. It's already up on YouTube, but it'll be out on the site tomorrow.
Let's play. Let's Rumble. That's pretty cool, man. It's pretty awesome. Speaking of TNA, let's transition a little bit. This is a quick spoiler. I'm going to get out of the way. So if you guys don't like spoilers, too bad. Eric Young was... Yeah, just mute it for like 100 seconds. Eric Young was earlier in the day spotted at Full Sail University. And there's pictures of him outside and stuff. And then there's a video of him coming out, walking to the ring. Samoa Joe's in the ring with the NXT Championship. Eric Young walks out. It says Eric Young on the Titantron or whatever they call it. And he comes out and he walks to the ring. And that's where the video ends. So I don't know exactly what happens. I read online that he comes out and he challenges Joe for an NXT Championship match, which is pretty cool. I feel like Eric Young, he's kind of older, and he's not... I don't know, man. I never really saw Eric Young as a main eventer. You know, when Eric Young was a TNA champion, I just felt like it just didn't work. And in this situation, I feel like... remember when TNA first started, how Jeff Jarrett was the champion, and then like DDP would come in, and then he would lose, and he would leave, and then somebody else would come in, and they would lose, and they would leave, and they repeated this step like 6-7 times. I feel like that's kind of what Eric Young's going to do. I feel like he's coming in just for maybe like 5-10 TV appearances, maybe end at TakeOver or end at next TakeOver. And we'll see what happens, though. Maybe he'll become a regular part of NXT. What do you think about Eric Young going to NXT?
As far as him as champion, it was never a fit because they just did it as an answer to Daniel Bryan.
I feel like that, too. Just a guy with a beard who's kind of small.
So that's why it never fit. I mean, if they did it right, I think EY could have been a good champion. Also, I don't think his feud with Lashley right after winning the title was a good feud. Or maybe not right after, but it was within a year or so. I don't think it was a good feud because, well, Eric Young versus Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, no, that doesn't fit because Bobby Lashley's a destroyer.
Yeah. Especially, you know, then you have AEY come back, grab the title. There's a whole storyline that they missed on that, but that's for a different discussion. As far as him coming in, I have no problem with him coming into NXT and going for the belt. Especially if they plan on bringing Finn Balor up to the main roster. EY is a perfect fit to replace Finn. Even if it's a temporary thing, you have him replace Finn. You know, you have EY be a Rhino. You know, do what Rhino did for the time when he was in NXT.
Yeah, where is Rhino? He got called up. I never saw him again.
I think he actually is done with the company.
Oh, I really like that guy.
For now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
can you see Eric Young versus Samoa Joe at the next TakeOver in June?
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that, definitely, especially if Finn comes. Or I could see some sort of a, you know, triple threat so Finn can take the loss and then come up to main roster, and then you can bring back with Joe and EY at the next one.
Oh, that's true, too, because Finn still gets a rematch, I think.
Yeah.
Unless he doesn't want one, I don't know.
Yeah, so you can do a triple threat at the next pay-per-view and then come back with EY and Samoa at the following payback at TakeOver.
I think Finn Balor should come out when Samoa Joe and Eric Young are in the ring, and Finn Balor should be dressed like the Joker, and then Eric Young go, "Who's this Joker?" That'd be awesome TV, man. Speaking of TNA, do you watch Impact?
I would say that the only reason why I don't is because I don't get Pop TV, but that would be a lie because even if I did, I probably still wouldn't watch it.
Now, I don't know if this is actually true. This is a screenshot. You know Botchamania, right?
Yes.
So I follow Botchamania on Facebook. And the official Botchamania account tweeted a picture. And it was a screenshot. And it said, China, Joni Lauer, 1970 to 2016. And what Botchamania captioned the picture was, this is TNA's tribute to China. She was actually born in 1969. The picture said 1970. Like, can they do anything right?
Look,
the answer is no. Simple. It's simple as that, man. They can't do anything right, these guys, I swear. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's a simple thing. That's a simple thing.
Yep, you're right.
I came home from work. I had that picture on my phone. I showed my girlfriend. You know what my girlfriend said? I thought she was born in 1969. She was!
I will just say, because you probably have some listeners who are TNA fans, we don't hate TNA, or at least I don't. It's just that it's very frustrating when they can't do anything right. Or that, because we even get, I don't know about you, but I even get frustrated when I see something so simple to do and WWE doesn't do it, or Ring of Honor doesn't do it.
Right. But I feel like WWE does make some stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
And they do make some storylines. Like, they could do so much better in so many ways. But TNA, it's just not watchable. Like, the way the storylines, the way everything is, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it just doesn't make sense half the time. And I don't know, man. I just can't watch it.
Yeah, especially with the, you know, they're good for, you know, 6 months, they're good for 3 months, and they're bad, they're good for, you know. Yes, WWE is the same exact way, but I don't know. I mean, in all honesty, I don't watch SmackDown. I should.
I don't watch it either. I read the spoilers, and when AJ Styles wrestles, I try to watch it.
I should, because Mauro Ranallo is 100 times better than Michael Cole.
Yeah, he is.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to watch it. I don't watch TNA. I don't watch ROH.
I don't watch Superstars or Main Event.
You know? But, you know, it's not... It has nothing to do with the company. It just has to do with the inconvenience of the show.
And the people that run this damn company.
Unwilling to.
Let me tell you something. Since 2002... TNA has had the greatest talent in the world walk through those doors. I mean, AJ Styles, Frankie Kazarian, the Young Bucks, Christopher Daniels, Okada, freaking Austin Aries, Samoa Joe, Kevin Nash, Kurt Angle, right? And they've had the greatest talent in the world, and they haven't done anything with it. Ever. Not one time. Like, they started doing good with Samoa Joe, they brought in Kurt Angle and they beat him. Boom. Our guys don't mean anything. WWE guys mean the world. They brought the Young Bucks in, Generation Me. What do they do with them? Nothing. I don't know. This is not TNA rant time, but I just feel like these people can't do anything right. And the talent isn't to blame. Like, Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, like, they're building the future. Mike Bennett and Maria, like, they have the talent, they just don't use it properly.
They are building the future, but the question should be, does the company have a future?
I don't know, man.
And I will say Kurt Angle did wonders for the company.
Yeah, he definitely did.
He helped the company tremendously, and that's a testament to Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's amazing, man, and I hope he goes back to WWE. I really do. And if he can't wrestle, if they decide, Kurt Angle, you're too banged up, you can't wrestle, I really hope that they send him to Orlando and they make him a trainer for NXT.
Oh, yeah, that would help. He would have tremendous help to anybody down there, especially collegiate wrestlers that Gerald Briscoe signs.
I mean, think about, even if Kurt Angle just took Chad Gable and Jason Jordan under his wing.
Yeah,
and imagine how amazing they are now and how amazing they could be with Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Definitely, yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's get down to business, man. We're not here to complain about TNA. Although Kurt Angle, man, Kurt Angle's like one of the best of all time. It really is.
Yeah, we could do that a different day.
can you believe that Kurt Angle has been in TNA longer than he was in WWE? This year will be 10 years. I mean, he's gone now, so we'll say Kurt Angle spent 9 years in TNA and 6 in WWE.
With the fact that Sting wanted to retire, from what I heard, about 4 or 5 years ago, and only kept coming back because of the amount of money Dixie Carter was paying him, yes, I can believe Kurt Angle stayed in TNA as long as he did.
That's true. I mean, it's probably easy money, actually.
Yes. Exactly.
Now I'm just like flipping through Facebook. I was picking up Eric Young. Eric Young. You know what's funny is his logo looks like the Harley Davidson logo. Oh, before we get to payback, did you see the video that I posted on Facebook? There's this video going around about Marty Jannetty. Did you see this?
If it's, do I want to see it?
Well, it's titled "The Reason Why Marty Jannetty Went Through the Barbershop Window." Now, I know you're kind of younger, and I don't know if you were around or if you remember it or if you saw it when Shawn Michaels put Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Yes, I've seen it.
I was watching it live, to tell you the truth. I remember seeing it when it happened on Superstars or whatever show it was, and it blew my mind. But apparently, there's this guy, his name was something Austin, like Chad Austin or Steve Austin, or Chad, I forget his name. So you know what I'm talking about?
No, I know the guy. I know Chad Austin. He was a job guy back in the 90s.
The guy who got paralyzed?
Oh, Marty Garner.
No, his name was something Austin. Anyways,
somebody got paralyzed. You were working with Jannetty. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was doing the rocker dropper, and dude came down right on the top of his head, and he got paralyzed, and apparently he sued the World Wrestling Federation. This was like I said, before the barbershop window incident, so like 90, 91, 92. And he came down around the top of his head, and in the moment, he knew, apparently, you know, I was watching this, it's like a news story from then. As soon as he hit, he knew his neck was broken, and he knew he was paralyzed. And Marty Jannetty leans down and says, "Roll over," and he's like, "I can't." And so Marty rolls him over, and they're showing this in this news video. Marty Jannetty rolls him over. He's dead weight. Obviously, you could see that he's dead weight. And then he goes and tags in Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels goes on the top rope and does a diving splash on the guy. And then he pins him 1, 2, 3. Now, they're suing the WWF at this point for negligence because the guy came in the door, and he's like, "Oh, I wrestled for 6 months." And they're like, "Oh, great, get out there." And he was paralyzed. I don't know how he's doing now. But he sued the WWF for like $3 million and ended up getting like $27 million. And the reason why Marty was let go at the time was because this lawsuit was going on and they wanted to distance themselves from him. And so thinking about that, if this incident never happened, the Rockers would have kept going, probably. I mean, I don't know, right? They might have. And we may have never gotten to Mr. WrestleMania.
Well, if Shawn's autobiography, Heartbreak and Triumph, echoes anything, him and Marty were having problems around 93, 94-ish, backstage, where Marty was becoming more of a headache because of his
drugs and stuff?
Yeah, his issues. And Shawn really was losing patience with him.
You know what's funny is I was listening to some podcast, like I think it was The Torch. I could be wrong though. And they were talking about Marty Jannetty, like why Marty Jannetty never really happened. And they were saying how Marty had a drug issue. Shawn had a drug issue too, but Marty was more out of control physically. Like Shawn was, he had a drug problem, but he was still more mellow. And Marty was just kind of like drug problem wild guy.
Yeah. That's what I heard, too.
Yeah. All right, let's get down to this payback card, shall we?
No.
WWE Payback, May 1st. Are you looking forward to Camp WWE?
More than Payback?
You're not, are you? Yeah, Camp WWE, man. I'm excited about it.
I mean, it seems interesting. I don't know.
Do you enjoy the Edge and Christian show?
Oh, yeah, it's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Yeah. At first, I thought it was going to be so stupid. The commercials for it, before it debuted, it looked so dumb. But it's fantastic.
Yeah, Edge and Christian are great.
Yeah. All right, so Payback, May 1st, live on the WWE Network. If you buy this on pay-per-view, you are an idiot. Rosemont, Illinois at the Allstate Arena, formerly known as the Rosemont Horizon. Yeah, yeah, I know that because I'm a wrestling fan. So, first match is a pre-show match. Now, I don't know if you heard this interview with Ryback recently, but he went on some show or something. He did an interview where he was really upset because he feels like his match should have been on the main card of WrestleMania. And he was in the pre-show, he lost to Kalisto, and he just feels like so disrespected. Did you know about this? You did, right?
Yeah, I've heard about that, yeah.
All right, so on the pre-show, for the WWE United States Championship, Kalisto defends his title against Ryback. So, okay, in this situation, Ryback's already annoyed that he's on the pre-show, so let's put him on the pre-show again. Whatever, I don't really like Ryback that much, but I know he was, in this interview that he did, he was hinting at wanting to leave the company. Hopefully. And yeah, I know, right? Yeah, well, he wasn't hurting anybody else. But I feel like they want him there because he has big, and that's what Vince looks for. He doesn't care if he can wrestle. He just wants the big guy. And I feel like they're going to give him the U.S. title to kiss his butt. So I am going Ryback, clean victory over Kalisto with the, I can't remember what this move is called, but yeah, what do you think?
First, I'll say he's lucky he even got a match at WrestleMania.
Oh, good point.
He's lucky he's getting a rematch, because what the heck did he do to deserve it?
Complained online.
You know, Dolph Ziggler did that, and he got jobbed out. Yes, I agree. The only thing I think they should do with the... If they're not going to give the title back to Cena, then they need to retire the U.S. title. But I agree that Ryback will probably win it.
Yeah, Ryback will probably win it. Okay, moving on to the main card. What's that?
He'll have a crappy reign with that title, too, like he did the Intercontinental.
Hey, maybe they'll just, like, make him happy by saying it's the pre-show main event.
Yeah. Have it be the only match on the pre-show.
On the main card, we have the guy you just mentioned, Dolph Ziggler, the Zigzag Man, taking on the rookie, the balding rookie, Baron Corbin. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Baron Corbin. He doesn't have charisma. He can't talk. He doesn't have a good body. He's balding. Like, his moves aren't that good. Everything about him screams, fire this guy. But for some reason, they love him, and they want him to be, maybe WrestleMania 34, the main event will be Roman Reigns versus Baron Corbin. That's what they're hoping for. But right now, the point is, they want Baron Corbin to get over, and getting over means beating Dolph Ziggler, and Baron Corbin's going to go with the End of Days.
Yes, because that works so well for Tyler Breeze. I completely agree that they want Baron Corbin over. Baron Corbin screams Goldberg.
But see, Goldberg had the body. Goldberg had the look. Goldberg wasn't balding, and he already shaved his head. Like, Goldberg, he even had charisma.
I will say Baron Corbin could probably go longer than Goldberg. But it's just that Baron Corbin, I feel like, needs more time. He needs to work with the right people to get better in the ring, to learn how to get better in the ring. I don't know if bringing him up was the right way. I don't know if he was the right person to bring up. I don't know if it was the right time to bring him up, because 2015 was a great year for him. He got so much better in the ring. That feud with Rhino was great for him. But I don't know if. Number one, Dolph was the right pick for his first feud. And I don't know if he should be having a feud right out of the gate. But yeah, I agree. Baron wins at Payback.
They don't do very well with these call-ups. The guys who they called up, I guess, Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews more specifically. They're not doing that great with these guys, you know? No. Apollo Crews doesn't even have a match on the pay-per-view.
Well, because he ran out of Social Outcast members to verse.
Oh, that's true. He did.
Oh, sorry.
Adam Rose got suspended.
Is not here anymore, you know.
If Adam Rose didn't get suspended, Apollo Crews would have a match.
Yeah, Brutus Clay all over again.
Yeah, I know, right? Bobby Lashley, but in a good mood.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we have the tag team match to determine the number one contenders for the tag team championship, the tournament finals. Now, I feel like this match should have been the Dudley Boys. I mean, you know, they Enzo and Cass have a lot of hype with the Dudley Boys. They have a lot of chemistry together. And I really wanted to see the finals come down to Cass, Enzo versus the Dudley Boys. But that's not what we have here. We have Big Cass and Enzo Amore taking on the Vaudevillains. This is... I don't know. I feel like it can go either way at this point. You know, maybe... Okay, here's what I'm going to say. The Dudley Boys are going to cost Enzo and Cass the match, and the Vaudevillains move on to be number one contenders, because I feel like Enzo and Cass belong with the Dudleys right now. They belong with the Dudleys, and Enzo and Cass are a lot more bulletproof than the Vaudevillains, so I feel like a loss wouldn't hurt them as much.
I agree, but I'll take it a different way. I think that Enzo and Cass will get the title victory in Brooklyn, because they're going back to Brooklyn for SummerSlam, so they'll get the title victory then. Will it be against the New Day? I think it's very possible it could be.
Oh, yeah, the Vaudevillains aren't going to beat the New Day.
As far as the Vaudevillains winning... Vaudevillains are heels. They want to put the New Day over as baby faces, so that's why the Vaudevillains win.
Oh, you're right. Good call.
And yes, I agree that the Dudleys are the reasons why the Vaudevillains win.
WWE Women's Championship. Charlotte, woo, the champion, with the Nature Boy Ric Flair in her corner, takes on Natalya, a.k.a. Natty Neidhart, which I would prefer her to be called, with the Hitman, Bret Hart, her uncle, in her corner. I read online that Bret Hart went ahead and commented saying how he really doesn't want to do this, but he's doing it for Natty. And it's weird that they're making him, I don't know if making him is the right term, it's weird that they're booking him in this match just because he's still so soon coming off the surgery that he had for his cancer scare. And I feel like he's not ready physically to go on TV. But, I mean, I don't know the guy. I'm just saying from, you know, because he had surgery, what, a month ago, 2 months ago? And, yeah. Charlotte's going to win. In fact, the whole point to Ric Flair, like to counter Ric Flair, why don't they just ban him from ringside, you know? But I feel like Bret Hart's going to something along the lines of, you know, Ric Flair's going to get involved, and then Bret Hart's going to punch Ric Flair, and then Natty's going to be distracted by the whole fight or whatever's happening, the chaos, and then Charlotte's going to roll her up 1-2-3.
If I didn't think they were going to do a title switch at SummerSlam, I would say Natalya would win at Payback and then drop it back to Charlotte the following month. But because I think they're going to do one at SummerSlam, because I think most of the champions are going to switch around then, either SummerSlam or Money in the Bank. With that being said, I agree Charlotte's going to win. And I'd rather see Tyson Kidd at ringside than Bret Hart.
Oh, I don't know if he can do it, though.
He doesn't have to get physical. He could just stand there and be
a manager. But that's the whole point of being there. That's the whole point of being there, is to physically stop Ric Flair from being a
jerk. And I think they'd be better off just banning Flair from ringside.
I agree. I totally agree. Who do you think's going to win the belt at SummerSlam? Sasha Banks?
Yep.
So NXT people go over at SummerSlam and win the belts?
Pretty much, yeah.
I agree with you, though, about SummerSlam. I feel like Roman Reigns is going to lose the WWE Championship at SummerSlam 2 in, like, 2018. Kevin Owens is taking on Sami Zayn. Now, this match is the only... this is like the only real match, man. This is the only match that's full of emotion. These guys have been going at it since Ring of Honor, PWG, even back IWS in Montreal. These guys have been going at it for years and years and years. And Kevin Owens comes in. You know, we all know the story. He congratulated Sami Zayn for the NXT title win. He attacks Sami Zayn. He puts him out of action. He gets called up to the main roster. Sami Zayn follows him up. these guys have just been at each other's throats for well over a year now, I think, right? And I mean, in WWE, you know, well over a year.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a fantastic match. Now, the question is, who's going to win? Because I feel like Kevin Owens has had a lot of losses lately, and but then again, so has Sami Zayn. Neither one of these guys have been on a winning streak. And you, okay, so in order for me to determine who's going to win this match, I got to think about who is going to hurt less. I feel like it's going to hurt Kevin Owens less. I feel like Kevin Owens has to lose. Kevin Owens has to lose to the Helluva kick. And, you know, it took me so long to figure out that Helluva kick meant hell of a kick. The Helluva kick. And Kevin Owens is going to attack him after the match. And they're going to continue their feud and go on. And Kevin Owens will probably win next month. What do you think?
I will say it's always easier to get the heat back on a heel than the heat back on a babyface. That's why, yes, I would agree that Sammy would win. But I also think it's very possible that next month is Extreme Rules. So, neither one of them will win to set up for a gimmick match next month.
Oh, okay, okay. I see what you're doing there. And then next month they could have like a last man standing, or they could have a no count out. That's what I was hoping for Dean and him, you know, when they're feuding with the Intercontinental title on the line. But yeah, so we'll go maybe a double count out, and then they have a no count out match the next month, a street fight or something.
And if it was me, I would have them get DQ'd the following month to come back the following month. Then go Raw the following month to come back the next month.
If this was you, if you were booking this stuff, it'd probably be a lot better. I'm just saying.
I wouldn't have Vince.
Then again, if you were booking it, Vince would probably be yelling at you.
Probably.
No, damn it. I want Rusev. Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho. Now, this match has been built up kind of silly. The whole Ambrose Asylum thing. Hey, watch the plant. It's been cute and fun and ha ha ha, but it hasn't been that great. Jericho hasn't turned up the fire. Dean Ambrose keeps teasing him about a scarf. It's just not ideal for these guys to be in a feud together like this. Dean Ambrose is being silly when he should be being a lunatic. But that's not the case here. But it's going to be a good match nonetheless. No matter how bad the hype, the build is, this is going to be a good match. And Jericho's been winning. Jericho won at WrestleMania. You don't have Jericho win. Jericho should have beat AJ Styles, but if Jericho beats AJ Styles and then Dean Ambrose beats Chris Jericho, that's a good rub. And so I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose here because Dean Ambrose needs to win more.
Well, also, Jericho can't be staying much longer. So, as always, he has to go out on his back. I will say this has been one of the best runs Jericho has had in a long time.
Yeah, it really is. Jericho's been doing so good.
Yeah. I just don't understand why they didn't play off Jericho leaving Dean and Roman last month when he came in as a mystery partner against the Wyatts.
You know, that was like so many months ago. That wasn't last month.
I mean, last year.
Yeah. I agree. They should have. But the whole problem was that Jericho ended up coming back to fill the John Cena's void. And he came back as a babyface, and the whole him walking out and bumping Roman, that was a heel thing. And I think they planned on turning Jericho heel, but then they lost Seth Rollins, they lost Randy Orton, they lost this guy. And they needed a big top babyface to come back, and so Jericho came back as a babyface. I think that's why they dropped it.
Mm. Well, then you shouldn't have done the feud with him and Dean, because you could have saved it for when he came back.
It's true.
You could have said that for him to come back and, I don't know, put him with Tyler Breeze, who really cares. But
Dean and Tyler?
But yeah, I would agree Dean gets the win.
I can see Tyler Breeze telling Dean Ambrose, you need to comb your hair ago.
I mean, that would be a great feud, Dean and Tyler.
Yeah, especially since Dean is so, like, unkempt.
Yeah, totally.
WWE Intercontinental Championship. Zack Ryder, I'm just kidding. The Miz, champion, with Maryse. The lovely Maryse is back. and she looks like she looks like a soccer mom. It's so weird. It's so weird. She dresses like she's an older soccer mom. She should be driving a minivan. And her acting skills, I don't know where they went, but she's not doing that great. Hopefully she's rusty and she gets her chops back. But so far she hasn't been that fantastic or even that great to look at. The Miz with Maryse takes on Cesaro. Now, I just described Maryse as being rusty and needing to kind of get her bearings back. So this act, it's only just beginning, and I feel like Miz needs to have a long title reign, and so Miz is going to win. It's going to be a great match. Cesaro should win. Cesaro deserves a title. Cesaro is amazing, but the story they're telling, the Miz is going to continue on as champion. What do you think?
It's WWE. Normally on pay-per-views, they have at least one dusty finish, and if they go for the clean finish with Kevin and Sammy, which I think they will, I think the dusty finish happens here with Maryse helping Miz keep the belt. And they come back next month, and maybe Cesaro wins next month.
I guess the dusty finish being Ambrose and Jericho, too.
Well, that depends on if Jericho is staying for Extreme Rules.
I've heard that Jericho has no tours with Fozzy announced at this point. So hopefully Jericho's here till SummerSlam.
Hopefully.
That's just me being hopeful, though. I have no confirmation on that.
Hopefully.
Okay, and we have a main event of this show. The WWE World Heavyweight Championship. The champion, Roman Reigns, takes on the number one contender, former TNA World Heavyweight Champion, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, the phenomenal one. I can't believe he's in the WWE, AJ Styles. Now, this match can go so many ways right now, and I can't stand Roman. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with him personally. It's just the way they present him is awful and terrible. So I can't stand him on screen. I can't stand the promos they give him. I wish they would let him talk for himself, but they don't. But with that said, I am so intrigued about this match because Karl Anderson and Luke Gallows are going to be in the building, and there is 1,000 different directions they can go. Now, what I am hoping, what I want, now, before I say what I want, a couple of scenarios are that scenario one is that they're going to come out, they're going to attack Roman. AJ is going to pin Roman, 1, 2, 3, new champion. They're going to hoist him up on their shoulders, and they're going to walk off into the sunset. Bullet Club, AJ Styles, all happy. Scenario two is that they're going to come out, they're going to attack AJ Styles, and they're going to become the Roman Empire. Now, the one I'm hoping for, we talked about Finn Balor earlier. I'm hoping Finn Balor comes in as a heel. And these guys are working for Finn Balor. Anderson and Gallows come out, and they lay out both Reigns and Styles. And there's your dusty finish. And it ends with Finn Balor going, "You know what, AJ Styles? I've been busting my ass here for 2 years. You walk in the door, and you're number one contender? Uh-uh. Mm-mm. Not with my friends around here. Not with this happening. Bullet Club, Balor Club, whatever you want to call it. Finn Balor, I really want to see him come in, and I really want to see AJ Styles and Finn Balor feud."
I think that would be the best way to go. I don't see them making the Roman Empire. I do see a possibility of maybe a 6-man tag team match at next pay-per-view, or even in the build to the next pay-per-view with Gallows, Anderson, and Styles against the Roman and the Usos.
You almost said the Roman Empire.
Yeah, well,
I mean, they kind of are the Roman Empire, though.
Kinda, yeah.
With the Usos.
But I think the best way to go is for Finn to come in. But I could also see them trying to turn AJ heel to try and get people to cheer Roman.
You know what? I can see that too. But my whole argument to that is it's too soon. He just debuted like 3 months ago. Like, if you're going to turn him after 3 months, then they're probably going to turn him back after 3 more months. You know what I mean? And AJ Styles needs to be a babyface for at least until Road to WrestleMania next year.
They could try and turn him heel, but it wouldn't work.
No, especially not against Roman.
Exactly. They would get him more cheers than boos.
They could put Rusev in there against Roman and he'll still get more cheers.
Probably right.
Yeah, no, Roman is a heat magnet, and they're ridiculous if they put him against the... They're ridiculous to put him against a babyface. Like, unless they want Roman to get booed, it's ridiculous to put him in there against any kind of babyface. Even, like, Dolph Ziggler, you know, anybody.
That's why you keep booking Roman as a tweener.
Yeah, because he's not a bad guy. He's not a good guy. He's the guy.
That's what they need to do. They need to keep booking Roman as a tweener, where he's in between. He's not a babyface. He's not a heel.
They just looks out for him.
Yeah, they can't make him a babyface, and they don't want to make him a heel, so make him in between. Put him in between. Let him be both. Let him have heel tactics, have babyface tactics. I mean, you can't really have a 6'5", 200-some-odd-pound guy cheat to win a match, because that would make him look weak. But that's why you should have a manager.
Yeah, or even just him being overly aggressive. I feel like if he's overly aggressive, that could be a heel trait too.
Yeah, you're right. That's why he should have joined the Authority. But
right. Roman should have joined the Authority in November at Survivor Series. That night, he should have joined against Dean Ambrose. And I feel like Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose for the title, a heel Authority Roman Reigns versus... An anti-authority, anti-establishment, babyface, Dean Ambrose, main eventing WrestleMania 32 could have been phenomenal. It would have been way better than Roman versus Hunter.
Especially with Seth making an appearance.
Seth even, you know what? They could have even shown Seth, like, just standing at the entrance ramp, just watching it on his crutches.
Or Skybox doing...
Yeah, just watching it.
Just watching the match.
Going whole...
Itching to return.
Them going, what's going through the mind of Seth Rollins right now?
Because when Seth comes back, he'll be the babyface and Roman will be the heel, because everybody knows Roman's still going to be champion.
What if they reunited the Shield? What if we end up getting the Shield versus the Bullet Club? Will that help Roman get over?
If the Bullet Club's heels and Seth and Dean are effective heels, then yes. But if Roman's still carrying the belt and we're expected to believe that Seth and Dean are second-class citizens under Roman, it wouldn't work. Roman needs to not have the belt if they're going to do that. Roman That's can't carry point. The belt, partially because he doesn't need it in a feud like that. The other part is, you don't want to make him seem like he's better than Seth and Dean, otherwise he will get booed. Because everybody knows he isn't better than Seth and Dean.
Everybody knows that, even him.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, it would be an amazing feud. The Bullet Club versus the Shield. Amazing.
There's this picture that somebody made. And it says the TNA locker room. And it shows an empty locker room with just James Storm photoshopped in there.
Well, I will say this, to now that you mentioned James Storm. In the TNA, in 2016, TEW, James Storm's more popular than their world champion.
Oh, wow.
Their world champion, of course, when he started, is Drew Galloway, yes. But he's more popular than Drew Galloway.
You know, James Storm, he's pretty popular as far as TNA guys go.
Mind you, he's only 5 more popular than Drew Galloway, but he's not where Jeff Hardy is, you know, in the 70s, or Kurt Angle, or Bobby Roode even. But he's still more popular than the world champion. I think there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Back to AJ Styles. So we're both agreeing that he's not going to become champion on Sunday, correct?
Yes, we're both agreeing that.
Will he ever become WWE champion?
I do believe that he will become WWE champion.
When?
I think he could be the one who beats Roman.
But when? SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Rumble, Mania, Payback, Vengeance, King of the Ring, Elimination Chamber.
Either Extreme Rules or Money in the Bank.
So you think this summer?
Yeah. With Carl and Doc. Helping him.
Okay. I think this summer, like I said, the scenario that I want to see goes through, where Finn Balor's behind Carl and Luke, not Doc. AJ Styles did the same thing on Raw. He didn't actually say the word Doc, but he almost did, and he stopped himself. It was so funny. I would like to see AJ Styles versus Finn Balor going to the summer, leading to SummerSlam. And then, okay, so say, for example, my scenario plays out where the Balor Club is attacking AJ Styles. Who does AJ Styles get to watch his back? Beer money. I'm just kidding. No.
Daniels and Kazarian.
If they could bring the Ring of Honor titles with them.
Hey, Joe Kopp did say he wanted a, if WWE came calling, he would accept a working agreement.
Yeah, I did read that.
It's but cool. Vince doesn't play with others. Hunter does. Vince doesn't Hunter play does. Well with others.
Let's talk about the Global Cruiserweight Tournament before we leave real quick. What are your thoughts on the Global Cruiserweight Tournament?
Innovative? Unlike anything we've seen?
I was listening to MLW Radio, and one of the questions of Conan was, what would you do with the Global Cruiserweight Tournament? And Conan was like, I don't know. And the problem with asking somebody what would you do with it is we don't know what this is yet. We don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
We don't know anything. This is mm-hmm. new territory. This is brand new.
Yep.
And how can you rebook something that you don't know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Who is your who's your pick to win, and who's your pick for a couple of runners-up?
I mean, as far as winning, I would prefer them pick an established name like a Johnny Gargano or Zack Sabre or Kota Ibushi. Even if the person does not work for them, it would improve relations with the company that he does work for, like Kota with New Japan or Zack with Progress in the UK. Or even, you know, Revolution Pro, or, you know, it would expand WWE's work. Thing if they let Zack Sabre win or Kota Ibushi win or even Johnny Gargano, it would help wrestling overall if they let Johnny win, considering he's still on the indies.
That's a good point. Those guys you mentioned are a couple of my runners up. Kota Ibushi, Zack Sabre Jr., Johnny Gargano. Those are guys who I think have a chance to win or have a chance to at least be in the finals. But I feel like the winner is going to be the former CMLL La Sombra, who is now working in NXT as Manny Andrade, I think. And but they got to put a mask back on the guy. They got to put his mask back on, and they got to come up with a good name for him. He can't go in there as Manny Andrade. But I feel like since he's the contracted guy, he hasn't been announced this thing yet. I don't even know if he's going to be in it. But I feel like he's the guy to win because he's under contract.
Knowing WWE, I could see that, but if we should expect anything with Hunter and how things have went, expect the unexpected, because we didn't even expect this to happen.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Especially
definitely true.
Having people, companies like Progress and New Japan and them running qualifier matches for the thing. Well, actually not New Japan, just Progress and Revolution Pro are running qualifiers.
And Evolve.
Yeah, and Evolve.
Yeah.
So expect the unexpected. I don't want to say La Sombra wins because I don't think he should. I think he, especially if he's not under the name La Sombra, I think they need an established name to win. Like Hogan winning the Rumble. The Rumble was still new. Hogan winning it made it a real deal. Made it a big deal because Hogan was a big deal. You need a guy like a Gargano, an established name, a known person to win to make people care about the tournament.
That's true. That's a good point, because if La Sombra wins and then they drop the ball with him, then it just turns into the Andre Battle Royal.
Or Tough Enough.
Or yeah, maybe Maven will win.
Or the King of the Ring, or basically any other tournament WWE has done.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. So in that case, maybe Kota Ibushi should win then.
Either Kota or Gargano.
Kota, I feel like Kota Ibushi is a much bigger deal than Johnny Gargano. No offense to Johnny Gargano, especially to my girlfriend, because she's probably can hear me somewhere wherever she is in the house, and that's her favorite wrestler. You know, she was mad at me because I didn't pick him to win the tournament, but I really feel like Kota's a bigger deal than Johnny.
I will be honest, the reason why I'm choosing Johnny is because I have been watching Johnny wrestle for about 7 years, 8 years now, and I've seen him develop into one of the best wrestlers in the world over the years, because he's gotten better.
He is fantastic. Yeah. He really is. I seen him live at Evolve last year for WrestleMania weekend. Who did he fight? I don't remember offhand, but yeah, I saw him. I saw him live. He's amazing, man. I like this guy. I watch PWG. I watch Evolve when I can. I watch him live, and I love to see him on NXT. I love seeing this guy on NXT. You know, and I think he'll be really good. And I think he'll do good. I think he'll make a name for himself. And hopefully, these guys, the Johnny Garganos and the Kota Ibushis, I hope these guys get signed.
Well, Johnny still has his contract with NXT. Tommaso Ciampa, I have also heard, may be in the tournament. And Rich Swann is likely going to be in the tournament, too.
Yeah, no, Rich Swann's been announced for the tournament, and he is signed. But as far as I know, Johnny Gargano's working on a handshake deal for NXT.
Yeah, as is Ciampa.
Yeah.
But that's because it's working well for both parties.
Yeah, but I mean...
Stuff like that.
There's no chance of Johnny Gargano getting a big push in NXT if he's just working on a handshake deal, you know.
Rich Swann should also be in the conversation of possibly winning.
Yeah, you know what? He's a big deal in the U.S.
He does have a tournament. He does have a contract. And he is a proven name. Tag team wrestler, but a proven name.
And Rich Swann is full of charisma. He comes out singing all night long, and the fans love it, and they sing it with him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not so much in NXT, but in Evolve.
He could be a top talent, especially now that they need him.
Yeah, that's true.
Down in NXT.
With his buddy Apollo gone, and Baron Corbin gone, and Enzo and Cass gone, they do have a lot of voids to fill, and they're bringing in some good talent,
definitely.
You know?
Definitely, yeah.
And I guess the last thing I want to ask you is, so we've seen Samoa Joe, we've seen Austin Aries, we've seen Bobby Roode, we've seen Eric Young. Who is the next person that we're going to see in NXT TNA?
I will say we also saw James Storm, though he...
I forgot about him.
Though he went back.
I blinked and I missed him.
Which I don't... No offense to TNA, I don't know why he went back. I mean, yes, fine. They reformed Beer Money for about, 4 months before Bobby left? You know, it's like Connor failing the wellness policy. You know, what do you do with Victor? What do you do with James? Now Bobby's gone. Well, I mean, James, you know, but as far as who else leaves... Well, it can't be the Hardys since they re-signed recently.
Yeah, the Hardys are written, and I believe the Wolves are also written.
Yeah.
I would love to see EC3 come out.
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
But sure he's making good money, and I'm sure he's happy where he is now.
Speaking of EC3, he's also more popular in when you start in TNA than Drew Galloway.
I would love to see Drew Galloway come back, too, even.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, too. There are a lot of people I would love to see come back, but...
Sharkboy?
Well, for TNA, I think they just need to keep going back to who they used to have, like Alex Shelley and Sabin, and...
They're under contracts, too, in Ring of Honor, though.
Well, I don't
as
think...
As far as I know, the Machine Guns are under contract in Ring of Honor, and so are the Daniels and Kazarian.
I'm not sure if Shelley's under an exclusive, because I know he still works in Japan.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like Ring of Honor puts that in their contracts now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if Shelley is exclusive either, or if he's even signed. I could just be making that up, but I know the Young Bucks have it in their contract that they can go to Japan.
Yeah.
And Michael Elgin, I think Michael Elgin signed a contract with New Japan now, though. You know, Adam Cole goes to PWG and whatnot and stuff like that. So Ring of Honor is being a little bit sharing, you know, like happy to share their guys with some other companies, which is a good sign for them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but not TNA. Nobody likes TNA. TNA is like on an island to themselves. Not even New Japan likes TNA.
Well, like, I mean, you saw how they used Okada.
Exactly. TNA is so pathetic that you can barely strike a deal with Wrestle 1. And who the hell is Wrestle 1?
Voodoo's company.
Yeah, I know. I mean, who the hell are they? You know what I mean?
Like, I think they're Sonata. the fifth rated company in Japan.
So they're behind New Japan. Is All Japan still a thing?
Yep.
All Japan, Noah, and who's a fourth?
Who cares?
That's true. you know what? We're ending this thing the same way we started it, complaining about Total Impact, whatever they're called. Cool, Michael. Thank you for stopping by, man. I look forward to you putting up the chat that we did about TW 2016,
mm-hmm.
and I look forward to playing it, and I look forward to talking to you hopefully every week and doing this this Let's Play thing.
Yeah, we'll pick it back up maybe next week.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Before you leave, plug the website and plug any social media and whatever else you got going on.
Well, the website is WrestlingExpress.net. Social media, you can find me on Twitter at WrestlingExpress with one S. And I guess once again I will say that there are a lot of big things I have going on for the summer. Or in a lot of big plans, I should say. Not a lot of big things. A lot of big plans going on for the summer. And it starts with it's actually starting with the Making an Impact, the TNA story.
Sounds good. That's awesome, man. I can't wait to keep up with all that stuff.
Yep. Can't wait to get the stuff going.
And then did you say your Twitter? At Wrestling Express without one S?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry. Cool, man. Thanks very much. I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Talk later. To you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you to Michael Klinko for stopping by. It was really fun to talk to this guy. I've been talking to this guy so much lately. We're doing the Let's Plays. We did a YouTube video about the new TEW, and that should be out anytime. It might be out now, so go check out Wrestling Express on YouTube also. There's a lot of great YouTubers that do Let's Play TEWs, and I'm starting to get into that world. I'm starting to get excited about that. So, if that's something you want to check out, let me know, and I'll point you in the right direction. Maybe to mine, if I start one. So I'm getting excited about Payback. One thing that we kind of forgot to talk about, my bad, was Vince McMahon's going to choose who's going to run Raw from now on. Is it Shane or is it Stephanie? Well, first of all, Shane lost at WrestleMania, okay? So Shane shouldn't be running anything. I mean, it's better with Shane running it, but he still lost at WrestleMania to The Undertaker. So I don't know, man. But what I'm hoping is that they do a brand split. I would love to see Shane take Raw, Stephanie take SmackDown. And, I mean, the other way around. I want to see Triple H and Stephanie on Raw, of course. And Shane on SmackDown, because I feel like SmackDown needs the boost. SmackDown needs the help. You know what I mean? And I feel like with Shane on SmackDown, with an exclusive roster, that could do wonders for SmackDown. So let's hope that Vince McMahon does go for a brand split, because I'm a firm believer in the brand split. People say the roster's not deep enough. People say there's not enough stars. The brand split will produce more stars than they're producing now. John Cena will go on record and say if it wasn't for the SmackDown brand, he would never have been a star, because he would have gotten lost in the shuffle. If it wasn't for a place for him to be highlighted on SmackDown, he would never have been a star. And I feel like there's a lot of people who are just lost in the shuffle, because we have Kevin Owens twice a week, we have AJ Styles twice a week, we have Dolph Ziggler twice a week, we have Baron Corbin twice a week. Why don't you give us those guys once a week, and then give us other guys? Give us Apollo Crews, give us Tyler Breeze, give us, you know, other people. Don't give us Dean Ambrose twice a week. Don't give us Chris Jericho twice a week. Don't give us Roman Reigns twice a week. Don't give us the Wyatt family twice a week. You know what I mean? Give it to us once a week, and give us somebody else. Why not? I don't even know. I don't know how they can do it, but I know that they can do it. As long as they stick to their guns and they are you know, they do a good job with it. So I'm hoping for the brand split. I'm hoping that we see a Raw roster and a SmackDown roster. I know it's wishful thinking. It's probably not going to happen, but hey, I'm allowed to do some wishful thinking, right? All right, folks, on that note, I'm going to get out of here. Go ahead and follow me on Twitter. Follow the show on Twitter at PWN Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Funky Sam Medina. Follow Michael Klinko on Twitter at Wrestling Express with one S. Follow Gerwick on Twitter at Gerwick.net. I mean, at Gerwick. Follow Gerwick.net on Twitter at Gerwick. Follow everybody. Follow, it says follow party. Follow party. It's like a super kick party, only instead of kicking people, you're following people. So go have a follow party, and I'll talk to you guys soon. And I hope that payback is most excellent. Excellent! Party time! Woo, 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 woo! Alright, guys, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for downloading. You know, I don't have a big company behind me. I'm not a Stone Cold podcast. I'm not a Jim Ross podcast. I'm not even a Ric Flair podcast. I'm not a Taz podcast. I'm just me doing this on my computer at home because I love wrestling and I love talking and I love you guys listening to this. So do me a favor. Go to iTunes. Give me a 5-star review. 5-star Frog Splash review. And because that's what makes this podcast more accessible on iTunes. That's what helps it people find it better. If you guys give me a good rating or whatever, a good review, and then it puts me up in the rankings and stuff, you guys. So go to iTunes. Go to anywhere that you listen to this podcast. Give a good comment. Leave a thumbs up. Tell me that I'm awesome. And hit me up on Twitter and let me know you did that, and I will say thank you at PWN Podcast. All right, you guys, I'm going to get out of here now. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm probably going to go to bed because I'm tired. I look forward to watching Payback. I hope you guys watch it too, and I hope y'all can come back next week and talk about some Payback. Peace out.